Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. We coolin' out. You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. You cool? I'm cool. We coolin' out.
Alright, people, we're about to start.
Okay, people. Alright, people.
Welcome to this first live coolin' out / pregame collaboration. So glad to have everybody here. You know, just we're going to just treat it as if you guys aren't even there, you know. We're going to just talk the same way we would talk. You guys are more than welcome to ask us your questions, but don't be hurt by what I say back to you. I'm Grell, obviously. It's kind of, you know how we do. Cooling out. We got my boy Carl here, representing Free Game. What's up, man?
Menace.
The man himself, Carl Folks, on behalf of Free Game. We got a loaded show for you guys tonight. So just sit back and, you know, brace yourself. Enjoy.
Yeah, definitely get drunk, man. It's Sunday.
I'm drunk.
You guys are doing shit. Really, you guys aren't doing anything. It's a Sunday. Have some fun. Get drunk.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, appreciate you guys for all coming out.
Yeah.
Let's jump right into it. Something dropped on Friday.
Yeah.
Let me take a couple steps back. Meek Mill dropped the album on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting much from it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Why? I wasn't expecting much from it.
Why?
Oh, wait. Oh, no, I get it. I know why you weren't expecting much.
Why?
Because you don't care about mass incarceration. You don't care about... wait.
Prison
reform.
So you don't put that on me?
You don't care about...
So you don't put that on me?
No, I'm putting it on society.
No.
You're reflecting on society.
No, I am not.
What Meek Mill, what that meant for... I think this is a championship moment for a lot of people.
Mm.
Prison reform, mass incarceration. He talks about it all, but you know, it gave me some early '90s vibes. I think he really took back a lot of layers. Like he stopped rapping about the Audemars and started rapping about, you know, how he felt about all right, things.
So time out. Now, when I said I didn't care about it dropping, that's because I expected him to be on the album talking about Audemars and repeating himself all over again and yelling and all that stuff. When I heard the album, it's fire. I'm not going to deny what I heard. But what I'm saying is going into it, I didn't expect much. I was like, all right, cool. This is going to be cool. Meek going to probably have some hot shit for the winter. But I didn't expect him to be talking about anything real life.
Yeah. I think with Meek, man, there's always the underlying message of being from the inner city. Speaking for the streets, there's a place where like these young cats with dreaded hair and with the red color. There's a space for everybody, right? There's nice rap, there's other, you know, there's mainstream rap, and then there's Meek Mill rap, which is rap for the real ones, rap for the streets, rap for, you know, prison incarceration, prison reform. I thought he finally brought it all together.
Yeah.
And made a cohesive project, and he spoke for a lot of people that need to be spoken for. I thought it was an impressive album, and I thought it was a big moment. I thought it was a bigger moment.
You from Philly, you biased.
Nah, man.
Let's hit Kevin here. He unbiased. Let's hit Kevin here.
What?
Easy is his best album. But I think even outside of that context, I think I think this is one of the bigger hip-hop moments. It's been, for a while, you look back at the history of hip-hop, how it started, right? It started off as a cause, a fight against a system. You know, Public Enemy, NWA, you know, guys, rap was tied to political causes, rap was tied to revolution and riot. That's what rap has always been, just like rock used to be. That was lost for a while, but I thought Meek Mill did a good job of tying it all in and bringing rap to where it used to be, which is just making it a revolution, being fully, it was just a thorough project.
Yeah, I think in the hierarchy, like, you got the big three, you know, Kendrick, Drake, Cole, but I think, like, he's currently four now, like, of his generation. Like, I think he definitely launched in the, like, he's firmly four.
Nobody.
Wait,
what
did you say? Sorry, wait, though. I'm not going to.
Wait, Kendrick,
wait.
Cole, and Drake are the unanimous three of them.
I miss Cole, that's why.
What?
I didn't hear his name.
No, my bad.
Yeah,
Drake.
Yeah. You almost lost some friendship points, but go ahead.
You
yeah.
think you think Meek is the unanimous four?
Who is? Big Sean?
You gotta, I will
say it like that.
What? No.
I will say this, man.
No,
maybe is I don't know what, we gotta see what the numbers look like.
Unanimous
four.
You can't. I'm not gonna put Meek in that top four if he sells behind you.
What time though? Who was in that class before? Like, people were always arguing, like, because I think
Wale
four stars, second tier rappers, right? So you have the Wale's of the world, the Big Sean's of the world.
Wale.
Wow.
Lauren.
Yeah, Wale from Lauren. He was out there for
my bad,
2010.
If this podcast, you know, we make sure you cut something up. That you get Kevin, you know, talking about Wale like that. Wait, hold on. Then I'm gonna get that on the neck. You know what Wale's gonna do? He's gonna address this. He addresses every tweet and video directed at him.
I hope he does.
So make sure you cut that up.
And I hope he does. It's gonna go viral.
It is.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say unanimous just because, like, nothing is, like, coming to my mind at the moment. Like, no other artist. I mean, I guess. Yeah, he writes a bunch of little Uzis and stuff. Now I don't know.
I mean, for me, I would say Nipsey Hussle's for it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, whoa.
Travis Scott.
You know, that was crazy that we didn't.
You know,
didn't say Travis Scott.
It ain't crazy.
I think it's crazy.
I don't think about Travis Scott. But you could be right. But Nipsey's
but
a good
not
one.
On that class.
Nah, Travis.
Travis,
if there's somebody who's for it,
I think
it's unanimous.
But we're talking about, like, currently as the classes
are
running.
Are you sneaking the boxes?
Yeah. Yeah, Kev wanted them corporate.
Corporate Kev. What else you want to say?
So I think I agree with you in the fact that it was definitely his most cohesive. It's probably the most cohesive album of 2018. But we'll get into that later. But it was definitely one. We'll talk about it later. But it was one of the most cohesive projects that he ever put out.
And individually, it did what he was supposed to do. It was, like I said, this is the moment for hip hop. This is really championships for the city of Philly. It did what it was supposed to do for hip hop. Like, that's how I feel about the project.
This is his first time having a real message, though.
Yeah.
It took him going to prison and dealing with, like, the judicial system and all that shit, for him to have a real message. And I think him having a real message is, it led to him putting out such a great project because he, as you say, spoke about the injustice of the prison system and all those things. So, I mean, I don't know. Do you think that he can continue this though? Like, do you think that this one thing shaped him for the future?
Yeah.
Nah, I think this is really his message right here. I think this was like his reasonable doubt, his blueprint, his. I mean, but look, I'm really. I think I'm
easy with the names.
Yeah,
I connect with the youth. I think a little bit better than some of my co-hosts right now.
Reasonable doubt blueprint.
I think that if you really go on social media, Facebook, Twitter, you know, Instagram, you see the responses I was getting and what it's getting compared to. It's the comparisons are pretty crazy, but I like them all. I think this really does remind me of a project that really combines all of the sort of aspects of a great album. You had the street records, the motivational records, you had some really, really good features, you had...
He even did the love songs decent.
He had some love songs out.
Meek
had the
love
songs. So I just thought, man, like, when was the last time I heard an album like this? And it was...
June 2018.
It was a long time ago.
Whoa.
What?
I'm like, you know what? I'm glad you're here, Kevin. We don't go too far off topic, but...
Drake's washed up.
I wasn't going to say all that. But so for all y'all don't know, for all y'all don't know,
he should be incarcerated.
This is Drake's number one fan right now. Kev got Aubrey Tatter on his back. right on his lower back. He loves Aubrey Graham.
Stomach.
So, oh, my bad.
So we need to let Drake know, too. I'm not pushing T.
So
you send some goons at me on stage. I don't know what's going on.
So with that being said, is it better than Scorpion?
No.
Championship?
I can't say. He just came out Friday.
Nope.
He got a better Jay verse. I wouldn't say overall.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's without question.
What
Jay verse,
what Jay verse was on Scorpion?
Talk Up, whatever it was.
Oh, Talk
exactly.
Up.
Exactly.
Right.
You see how you
got
it?
Backbone in verse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you forgot it. But so.
But let's say this, though.
Friday.
Let's say this. I think if Scorpion was a more concise project,
without question,
it'd be the best album maybe of all time. Any album with Jaden on it?
Just
belongs
the song
to the
Jaden, just the song Jaden. So.
Yeah, just the song.
Just
Jaden,
take out
man.
All the other 24 tracks on there and just focus on Jaden.
Yeah. Any song with Drake, you know, harmonizing and singing, come on, man. I think that has to be
yeah.
out there.
Nah, it was definitely Bloated, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't say that. It just came out Friday.
It's been a good year for
me.
It's been a good year.
How many times have you listened
to
it since Friday?
Twice.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, you see,
I heard What's Free like 20 times.
See, I try my best not to stay away from those like, oh, you're just living in the moment type things where if an album just came on Friday, today's Sunday now.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to the album at least 5 times.
That
like from front to back. It's definitely Meek's best album, and it's definitely better than Scorpion. Like the actual, because we can't sit here and say, oh, well, Drake would have made it more concise. He didn't. He put out 25 tracks, and you have to take the album as a whole. And looking at the album as a whole, Meek's album was just better as a whole. I can listen to Meek's album straight front to back. On Scorpion, there's a couple of tracks I'm skipping, especially that track with Jay.
There's a part of the ways, guys. It's when I separate ways.
This is the last episode
yeah.
ever.
You're in my heart. You're in my heart.
I'm just being honest.
So you think the 19 tracks on Champions beats the 24 on Scorpion?
Listen, so...
Because you're not going to act like Meek's not a little bloated.
No.
There's one or three love songs that could have been off.
One or three love songs?
Yeah, I mean,
track for listen, track for track, right? I don't think there's... Obviously, Meek's best track on Championships can't compare to Drake's top three or
Meek's
four tracks. But I'm talking about just the album as a whole. If you look at it like song for song, right, Meek's album just flows better. Like, there's very few albums recently that I'm like, y'all want to play this straight through. And I can listen to Meek's album straight through, song 1 through 19. Do you listen to Scorpion that way? Do you
side
listen to Scorpion
side.
That way?
Well, he kind of cheated
yeah.
with the two sides, but I can't.
Even not side A, side B. You can't pair it. Just listen to it front to back.
No,
I can.
Today, you listen to it front to back.
I haven't at all.
Exactly. That's my point, without skipping anything.
No, but I know my favorites now, though. I'm not going to the fillers. So
how many times
was so I'm just listening to like 22 out of 24 instead of the whole.
So first couple listens, Scorpion came out, whatever weekend that came out.
It's June 2018.
Glad to tell you. The love. So when it came out June 2018,
mm-hmm.
how many times did you listen to Scorpion straight front to back?
Before, oh, that Friday? About 5-6 times?
Oh, that's different. That's but you a different breed.
You come from a different
Let
world.
Me ask you, we need some more level headed.
Yeah, nah. Maybe
5
10.
To 10?
Yeah, 10 times. I think Drake's better than Michael Jackson. I think he's better than Elvis. I think Drake legitimately is the greatest musician of all time.
He's on an unprecedented run. You're firing it away?
Yeah. This one I leave.
He's better
than Mike?
Mike? I think Quincy Jones.
You're going to look back on this run.
No, Drake.
I mean,
this is the most dominant stretch for hip-hop
cool.
artists.
No, he really did.
Hip-hop artists. He ain't better than Mike.
He made it cool to make love songs
you know,
again, man.
Artists.
He made it cool for.
This is one of the most dominant stretches of an artist in general.
I'm about to sound like an old head.
Go
I ain't
ahead.
Gonna lie. Because, like, you know what's funny? My parents just. I'm starting at Michael Jackson.
Who?
What? Turn on a Mike Jackson album right now. Everybody get up here and start twisting their legs, doing crazy
Turn
shit.
Turn it on.
No, bro. Michael Jackson is one of
them. All right, after Thriller, name him.
What? After Thriller?
Mm-hmm.
Bad, Dangerous, Invincible. And then the last one came out, that's when he was done for it.
Yeah, you good.
What about Prince?
What do you mean I'm different?
Does anyone listen to him?
Who?
Prince.
Not me.
I don't.
God rest him, but not.
But he's world renowned. But
yeah.
I don't get it.
I mean, he's royal too, but
I don't disrespect the legends.
I
Drake,
don't.
So Drake is probably one of the greatest hip-hop artists. Well, he's not probably. One
Take
of the greatest
out. Artists. This run is unprecedented.
He made it cool to love
he's
him.
He's one
man.
Of the most successful artists. He's breaking Michael Jackson records.
He allowed men to be vulnerable.
He's breaking Michael Jackson records
he did a lot for mental health.
He did a lot for mental health. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Now he made it cool for me to...
Oh,
my.
You know how many heartbroken emojis I put in my pictures, like me looking at.
But that's because you guys are different.
What, Drake made it cool.
Drake made it cool, man. Drake made it cool for Jews to show emotion.
I just a defense.
Marvin
we ain't living like this.
What?
No, I'm saying that's why I'm glad I'm sitting in between you guys. It'd be too much love.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Where are we wrong?
No, first of all, yes, Drake made it cool to be in your feelings. I guess
he said, "Cry if you need to." To me, that means everything, man.
So you're telling me, so before Arbor, you weren't crying if you needed to?
No.
Nah.
No. Nah. So none of my role models were telling me that.
Yeah, they were slinging crack on the corner.
Kev, you weren't slinging crack nowhere.
I know, but that's what we're saying. None of our artists really motivated. They weren't really talking about it.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, Drake's one of the greatest artists of all time, but it's hard to compare all time because, obviously, eras change. The way the way music is given to us changes. We can literally access any song we want to.
And he dominates in his era. All you can do is base it on his era.
Yes, and your era. Mike Jackson dominated his era. Who was competing with Michael Jackson at his prime? Who?
I wasn't around.
No
back
one.
Then.
And this is before anyone could access music. It's before the internet. It's before anything. No one was competing with Mike.
No, he's good. He's a good artist.
Good.
He's
cool.
Nah. I have to change something. I can't fuck with y'all no more. This is like the end of our friendship right here on this
stage.
I'm
done with school.
Listen, I'm contractually obligated.
He has some off the field issues. He has
some
off the
court,
off the field issues that.
Chill. Focus on the music only.
Now, what do you guys feel about that, man? About divvying out. Because there's a couple guys in this generation, well, I guess in the past couple generations, where you're like, man, like R. Kelly, like his music is crazy good, though. I mean, like, nah, but like, can you, is it okay for us to separate a person's art from their character?
Depends.
Yeah.
Depends on the timing.
That's a lawyer answer.
That is a lawyer answer.
I always separate. I never mean that.
It depends. No. Me personally, I think it is okay.
But there are exceptions.
I don't think we should. I'm not a big believer in like cancel culture at all.
I'm not, but like R. Kelly and specifically, like yeah, you hear some of his content, then you like the allegations that constantly surround him. It's hard to.
When I listen to R. Kelly's any song, none of the allegations matter to me.
He is
the worst person. Like lowest human being breed I've ever seen in my life.
Depends.
But his music is phenomenal, and I can't.
Ignition versus I Believe I Can Fly. Like it depends on the content.
So Ignition makes you think about his allegations.
I have when you talk about sex.
I think it's more of a morality question,
that.
Though. Do you guys think? Do you guys think it's okay? It's like I think it's less about whether.
Exactly.
No, it's a morality question. Do you think we should be listening to this dude's music, knowing what he's done? This dude married like a 14-year-old.
But we knew that. People knew that. Like, he was in the back of Aaliyah's album cover. Like, he was in the back on the wall posted up when she was like 16 years old.
What does that say about us then? I mean, you talking about.
I didn't buy that album.
You streaming it?
It said nothing about me.
We're still streaming the records. We're still listening to music.
I haven't listened to an R. Kelly record.
You guys clearly don't refresh your moral compass.
You gotta get your life together. You listen to R. Kelly in a couple of months.
You guys clearly need to refresh your moral compass because.
Do you listen to R. Kelly?
I would never
want
an artist to the art.
So if you had any family function, wedding, anything where large groups or gatherings are together, and Step in the Name of Love, come on, you just go sit in the corner.
But that's a different R. Kelly.
No.
That's a different R. Kelly, though.
You just go sit in the corner, I'm putting you in a box. You just gonna sit in the corner?
They're both R. Kelly.
Your feet just start moving, you can't even adjust
that's
it.
That's a different R. Kelly.
But that song's bigger than
that's
R. Kelly.
That's a motivation.
How that song bigger than R. Kelly?
Step in the Name of Love, I believe I can fly, different from like,
yeah.
So if you're
Ignition,
World's Greatest, World's Greatest is another one.
Like, listen to the Buff and Grind now, crazy. Knowing how Robert did that,
it's crazy. Listen, I'm not trying to defend Robert in any of his allegations, any of his life circumstances, none of the above. But what I'm saying is that I just can't deny good music.
You
like,
know what you are.
No, chill. I never go out. First, listen, I never go out and like seek an R. Kelly track or nothing like that.
Sure.
But if it comes on, like, I'm not going to deny. Buff and Grind is fire. Ignition is fire.
I'm just saying I can't help, and this is not all artists.
Yeah.
But I can't help, like, given his content and all the allegations that surround him for like decades now, I can't help but like disrespect.
We part ways.
But,
yeah. I mean, I'm
never the person like you got to separate the artist from the art. Like, do you remember when Spotify had like they were banning people from their playlists?
What they took down.
Like when you start there, you can just like,
that can go anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. Like you can ban Jay. Like he used to sling crack on the court. Like
you
ban him.
most influential artist of all time.
Yeah.
You can literally ban Eminem for
everything,
every track that he's ever put out.
I thought Eminem was very inappropriate. I'm not even trying to be annoyed. I feel like...
Yeah, in the moment.
I thought like...
In the moment?
I mean, he's like crazy. Even
now.
Like when he was rapping, I was like, man, I never got it. And I also felt like...
I loved it.
I always felt like it was just like, man, what is this dude's... How is this rocking? Like, you know, this guy is really on some shit.
I'm not gonna lie. Eminem, like when I was... Maybe I got introduced to Eminem when I was 11 or 12.
And he was a good
Eminem. Eminem introduced
what?
Me to like...
What?
Chill out. We're going to deal with that in a second. Eminem introduced me to like that concept of like the crazy white boy, the suburban white boy in his room. And how like, you know, they just want to kill their parents and shit. Like all that stuff was like brand new to me. Like I've grown up in the hood. I'm a young black. I'm like, yo, what are you talking about? He's sorry to his mom. And my mom was like, that's his real mom he's talking about. And I was like, I know, right? It's crazy. Like that music, like... It's insanity, but it's art. Like, for anyone to think outside the box to that point, it's art. Like, that's great music. If he made it today in 2018, 2019 coming up, he wouldn't sell the way he sold before.
Yeah, they're few better at the art of actually rapping than that. And it was like...
Almost no.
It's definitely easier to be an artist. It was definitely easier to be an artist back then than it is now. Not from, like, getting your music out. You know, it's so easy to get your music out these days. But in terms of being able to say what you want, being able to, you know, put out that content without having restrictions on art. Now it's just like, man, you put something out, how many people are going to, you know, comment on it?
That's
like,
a good point.
How many people are going to, like,
try
to cancel
someone?
Yeah. Nah, like, cancel culture is crazy, man. I've had people trying to cancel me for, like, the smallest shit ever, man. It's like, dude, stuff that they don't even know. Like, they don't even get, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I feel you. But, like, so, like, perfect, because that actually ties back. I wanted to go back to Meek real quick. And we're going to go a little bit more in-depth about the What's Free track. But, so, about canceling culture, right? Before we even talk about What's Free, the song itself and exactly what it meant to me and, like, the culture overall, there's a very specific line we're talking about off wax that Rick Ross said.
Yeah.
Well, one word, actually, like,
yeah.
F-word rhymes with maggot.
Be brave.
And, like, he said it in 2018, and, like, it's crazy because, like, when I used to listen to Eminem, for example, in the year 2000, that was very normal to me. I'm listening to Meek Mill's album going to work on Friday, and my ears just ringing when I heard it. I was like, yo, and I text Kev, like, yo, did he just say what I thought he said? Like he's brave for bringing that word up, and, like,
I feel like we need to teach people to be more less sensitive about being called stuff. I think right now, culture responded to harshness and like bullying by like saying people need to stop. I think culture should have really responded by making people stronger. Like no words should ever be able to break you, in my opinion. No words should ever be able to get you out of character. I mean, like you called me the N-word. It just wouldn't like that.
Mm.
I think it's a loss. You gotta be able to be strong in that sense. Like because there's always gonna be criticism. The higher you go in life, there's always going to be people calling you stuff, and social media has made it so much more available where you can put up a picture and some clown doesn't even know you, but they call you ugly or fat. Like,
gotcha.
And then now what? Are you going to be like sensitive or sad about it? Or should we cancel this person because they said that? What about like, how should we handle that? You know, I always thought the response was to one, expose that person, let them expose who they are.
Mm.
Like definitely don't cancel them. But I also think it's important for us to become people who are non-reactive and don't feed in any of that sort of behavior because it doesn't go away.
Yeah, so I understand what you're saying, but given the already set precedent and the meaning behind the word, like it's not like, okay, for example, you're saying, well, before we basically ridicule people for saying it, rather than teaching people who are on the receiving end of the word to be stronger, basically, right? Am I correct in what you're saying? You're saying people should be stronger and not let people call them, like, not basically, essentially, let their feelings be hurt by someone calling them something.
Your feelings can be hurt. I mean, like, we're human beings, but I also feel like that shouldn't be, we should never get to the point where kids are committing suicide off of, like,
words.
People get bullied,
yeah.
Like, off of words. Like I'm never going to be like, yo, you need to be tougher, kid. That's like, obviously not what I'm trying to say. I think it's like embedded in us right now to like chastise the bully instead of building self-worth. I think we focus more so on like, you know, building people's character and appreciating like self-worth. I think it's going to be very tough for anyone to commit suicide, or because like you just believe in yourself, you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta teach more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And those bullies would probably even they wouldn't even be anywhere because we'd be teaching self promotion, self love.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's more so what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I agree with you in the sense that I think if we essentially restrict people from saying more and more words, then there will be no words that people can say. Because overall, I mean, like, there's no way to eradicate hate. Like, there's no way to eradicate it in totality. People are going to hate people for any given reason. Like, if it's not your gender, your sexuality, anything like that, people will find a reason to hate you. Your race, people will find a reason to hate you. They really want to hate you.
Yeah. We live in a generation of, like, no mistakes, right? Like, it's like, when you make a mistake, people try to hang you on a cross. Like, that's really what it is. Like, you made one mistake, but it's like, yo, you made a mistake, too.
And that was a conscious mistake. I don't think that was a mistake. Meaning Rick Ross saying that word on the track, that wasn't a mistake. He said it.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's well aware of the consequences that.
But
it's,
he should. There,
but
yeah,
using
there are a few words that I just stay away
yeah,
from. That's
right. Using your logic though, it's art, right? It's
that's true.
You know what he meant by it. I thought he just meant by you go to
prison.
You go into prison. All the harsh talk and all the other stuff that you were saying
goes away.
Yeah.
It goes away quickly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I took it, and I think that's how it should be looked at. But now we gotta get less sensitive. People gotta be able to say whatever they want to say because freedom of speech, freedom of being able to walk into a room and say. We have so many people hiding how they actually feel. I think that this is like the Donald Trump argument. Like he's good. He's almost good to be in office because he's exposing. A lot of people are now coming to the forefront and saying how they want to feel because Donald Trump is sort of like, championing that. Like,
yeah.
He's kind of giving you that sort of comfort for you to, like, speak out. But I don't think that's like, I understand that, but I also feel like people should always, like, have that room to speak how they feel. Like, and without sort of, like, without sort of punishment, man. Like, because when you start monitoring and restricting what people can or can't do, that line becomes super subjective, right? We don't have our moral codes, I guess, are, I don't know, we have people in here, I don't know what anyone here's moral code is, but I'm sure it's going to be different. There's going to be things that, like, I think are appropriate, and there's going to be things that you're like, nah, that's not appropriate at all. And who's drawing those lines? Like,
so essentially, intent matters, then.
What do you mean?
Intent matters, because, like, for example, you're saying our moral codes are different, right? I could say a word and throw it out here, and we could all have five different interpretations of what my intent was behind saying this particular word and this sentence and all that sentence structure, all that stuff. But my true intent behind it matters. Like you're saying, Rick Ross, his intent wasn't to be offensive when he said that. He was talking about, you being tough, and now you're about to go to prison, and you know what normally happens to tough guys in prison. So his intent mattered, essentially.
Yeah, no, 200%. I think if people
also said perception, like people can like hear it, and they're going to just feel a certain way. Depending on the individual.
Right, so I think what you just said is important because, like, if you assume positive intent or good intent, like, you're always going to probably be able to have dialogue with people. But if you assume the other way around, that, like, Rick Ross is like a bigot and
oh my
he's
God,
insensitive.
How do you use that word?
Yeah, then you're not going to get the point in the message. So.
That's how I took it the first listen, but I've also been trained to think like that when society tells you, this word is terrible, like, you should stay away from that.
Nah, I tweeted this the other day, man. I said part of learning is learning how to unlearn. Like, it really is, man. Like, we have so much stuff that's been so embedded in everything we do that, like, the biggest learning curve in my life has been learning how to unlearn. Like, so that's just how I feel about
that's
it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk. Let's get
into
it.
Yeah. How do you feel about the final verse, though, on that song?
Jay's verse
yeah.
on What's Free? Empowered. Powerful. Where do I even start? I think, like, the overall message I took from it, like, because at first it was like, all right, you bragging, you're a billionaire, cool, you're getting your money, your house is big, da da da. But the underlying message about, like, how black people never come together
mm-hmm.
and how so many artists are getting basically shafted in their deals, even though he told them years ago, that ain't the way to do it. We shouldn't be signing 365s anymore, or sorry, 360s anymore. It was just powerful. It was like, yo, we really got to come together as a people and just put and do our own shit. Like,
so many layers.
So many layers to it.
Yeah, nah. I don't really put too much. I didn't put too much stock in.
Yeah, you told me. I was.
I mean, I don't really put too much stock in rap in general. I feel like Jay-Z doesn't do enough, man. Maybe that's like the unpopular opinion. But I feel like Jay-Z certainly doesn't do enough.
In what sense?
In every sense.
Like what more can he do? Like,
he doesn't talk. He rarely offers like words. He rarely offers. This dude is like the most secretive man. Like his whole life is like some big decoded message. It's like, bro, like you have the skill set and knowledge that so many people want, and you just like.
Well, wouldn't people argue behind the scenes?
What?
Like, what do you want him? Start a title.
Give more people. Yeah.
Tweet more, but I don't.
I think it's
just
a.
Be more public.
It's a totality of it. I think it's everything. Like tweet more, be more cognizant. Put out more material for people. He has like who is Jay-Z?
He's 50 years old.
What?
He got three kids. I think I completely 100%, 1000% disagree. I think him just being the role.
I think it's an obligation.
What's his obligation?
He's
one of those dudes who like acts like he doesn't have obligation. He accepts obligation when he wants to accept obligation. He's like one of those dudes. Like he'll say his little spiel in a verse, then goes away. Like
how is that not him fulfilling his obligation? But not just that. Music that goes nowhere. Like I put this out now. I told you how I felt. Now you want him to go out and tell people how he feels 1,000 times?
I think he needs to put out more material. I think he has a lot of.
You shouldn't come back if you don't have something to say.
Yeah, he has.
I don't want.
You mean he has another? He has a lot. It's Jay-Z. Like, what do you mean? He has the most game in the universe, though. Like, what are we talking about here? It's not like he needs to. I think he needs to do more. I'm sorry. He has an obligation. I think to the streets, to impoverished people, to people who need answers.
Mm.
It's like he's like. I feel like he's almost.
So he should be talking.
I feel like he's
like,
almost
I
an enemy.
Like
I feel like Jay-Z's almost an enemy.
What? You gotta explain this
because
you
because go. I feel like he's got the answers and decoded it. If that makes sense. No, he didn't decode it. Sorry, he's like he got the answers and encoded it up and then left. Like he's like he doesn't make anything easily accessible.
So you feel like he's not doing anything.
He doesn't make anything easily accessible. He doesn't really help. I don't think he's done anything that makes people make this path to success easier for people who come from where you come from.
But what path to success? The path to success. He's been successful majority of his success comes from the music industry, and I think he had.
Not no more.
Well, yeah, that was the start.
Yeah, I'm saying so. Like, yeah, but the people that he could primarily affect are in the music industry. So, like,
I'm saying everything he does is so high level that if you're not high level, you can't understand it.
So, what do you want to do? Oh, Carl, come join on this deal? Like, what do you want to do?
Like, a lot of this stuff. Like,
yes.
But he even rocks it, though. Like, you know,
but it's still high level.
Like,
everything he says is so coded. It's like, everything he says is so high level. Like,
no, I feel like he just doesn't speak much. So, when he does speak, I feel like his message is pretty clear.
It's
like, he's already telling artists, like, stop buying all these chains, stop signing these crazy deals. Like, know your worth, and he just reminded us in that verse, but artists still do it. He just doesn't talk that much about it.
And my point to you is...
He should talk
more. Yeah, talk more about it.
You want to be an activist? Like, what do you want to do?
I think he has more resources than all of us combined,
yeah.
And, like, the fact that he doesn't really offer those resources gets me upset. Like, why am I doing... I'm not going to say his grunt work, but I'm saying, like, why are we the community leaders and not Jay-Z? Like, why is he not on it? Why is he not focusing his efforts at the grassroots level? If not, he's just become, like, when I say he's an enemy in that sense, he's just another big conglomerate. That's what I meant by that. He's just another person who's not doing anything on a grassroots level, and that's just what it is. Like, that's what I meant in terms of, like, well, I can't really relate to him because he's not where I'm at. And he's not really helping me get to that next level. He's giving these like little one. He's giving rap lines about it, but not giving us education about it. Like that's totally different.
Through
his rap lines.
No, I'm like, this is where I'm baffled. Like you're saying he could do more, but you're not telling me exactly what he could do.
Curriculum.
A PSA. You want to do a public service announcement?
I think he needs curriculum. I think he needs
fires.
I think he needs to offer more opportunities.
Fire song.
I think he needs to give more opportunities. I think he needs to create more opportunities in inner city. I think he needs to do. I think you have an obligation.
I'm not gonna sit here and act like I'm like the most well versed and knowledged in Jay-Z's philanthropic. You know,
it's less about Jay-Z
Gibbons, but I don't know what he does philanthropy wise. But I'm assuming that he's giving back.
Look, I'm not trying to take anything away from him. Like, and I also think this is an in particular Jay-Z issue. I think it's more of a rich person issue. I think capitalism doesn't work. It probably would never work. I mean, but it doesn't work when, you know, the people with the resources, like, don't provide those resources to people who don't have them. Like, this shit doesn't work. Like, if you have a bunch of money and you're hoarding it, or you're only giving out high level stuff, you're not really giving other people access to it. You're not really telling people how to do it. You're not really trying to protect them at a lower level. Like, that's why I do free game or anything I do, because it's like, yo, people just don't understand this stuff.
Mm.
And he understands the game way more than I ever could at this juncture in my life. And he's not doing anything sort of to, besides giving rap lyrics to, like.
My whole thing, I don't know what he does behind the scenes. Like, my
point is that that doesn't matter, though. That doesn't matter.
You want to be more public with it.
Right, yeah. I don't care what he does behind the scenes.
That's right.
Like, I'm sure he's making an impact. I'm not even doubting him. I just think that it could be full circle. Why not hold him to a higher standard? Does he not need to be held to a higher standard?
We don't have to agree, disagree on that. I want to know, like, what are your thoughts on the verse, Jay-Z's verse? You didn't really dive in.
I think it's his best feature in years. I think it's like multiple layered. I loved it.
Mm.
I loved it. I love that he just pops up and reminds people that, like, yo, I'm still that good. I'm almost 50.
Mm.
I'm still like smoking.
Overall, what's the song mean to both of you?
Nothing. I'd say it means absolutely nothing. It was a good music. It was a good record. Like, doesn't mean anything.
I love it because I'm a big Biggie fan too. So hearing over like the snares of Woods Beef and knowing their connection, and I really think it was like a fire verse. It's just so, you're talking about slavery, like what they did to us, artists that are still kind of like enslaved. Yeah, but he doesn't talk.
No, not just Jay. I'm talking about the song overall.
I love the message. Like, they all were good.
Yeah, I get it. Prison reform, you know, slavery and the mentality. It was a good little message. But rap's been doing that for so long without action or change. Like,
what is that going to do?
But I mean, like, I'm serious when I say you trace back the history of rap and where it started and how it came to prominence. It was a revolution. It's riot music, right? It's revolution music. It was always. It was just like rock was. Like, it's like it's counterculture. It started that way. Like N.W.A., Public Enemy, they were all raps with messages. Raps trying to move the culture. So I get it. It's cool. Like, it helped. But how much did it really help? How much is it really going to help?
I love the art of rapping. So like. I'm not one of these old heads that would be like, you know, mumble, like all forms are welcome, but I still like, you hear a really fire verse.
I don't think rap's that important.
I think, first of all, I think it matters because we're talking about like Public Enemy, N.W.A., all those groups that were very prominent, what, the early 90s, late 80s, and how they influenced a certain group of people in that time frame. Our people, now anyone listens to rap music, on the average, isn't going back listening to N.W.A. or Public Enemy. So I think that message, whether you think it was worth this or not, it influenced someone. Someone heard that and was like, wow, and was definitely enlightened. Someone, bro, think about how many times we talk to people on a daily, and like we have conversations all the time with Wax. So we're like, yo, I'm not even going to spend the time to try to open that dude's mind because his mind is so close. Like, that dude is just so lost. I don't want to waste my time doing it. But now imagine someone like Jay-Z, someone like Meek Mill, someone like Rick Ross, where these are your idols. These are someone's idols. And they say these things on a verse right there, your mind's open.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Someone got reached by that, and I think that to me makes me feel like that's not a waste of time. That's why it has some value.
Yeah,
someone got reached in that. Everyone should have some concept over their own time and what's free. And you're not free when someone's telling you where to be, when you need to be there.
Quit your job tomorrow.
Exactly. I'm not free. I'm not free, and we have times all the time. I'm not free. If I was free, if I'm at work and I'm done doing everything by 4. I should be able to leave. Why am I sitting here?
Yeah.
But I'm not free. And I'm saying that's the concept of people.
You got the employee with the hairpiece. We got that.
Huh?
We got that.
Yeah. Yeah. Your boss makes you stay somewhere. Yeah. You're not free. But it's even deeper than that. Like Meek Mill in his verse got into the Kaepernick situation where he was like, yo, like this dude's kneeling. But like, and we'll talk about it a little later with the Kareem Hunt and Ruben Foster thing. But this dude's kneeling. You see him and his teammates supporting him. Mm-hmm. And all he's kneeling for is what? Injustices around the world affecting his community, things like that. No one's supporting him. You see any players still speaking out about it? That shit is dead. No one is talking about Kaepernick anymore. Very rarely. This dude's getting signed to NFL right now with mad felonies, convictions, crimes on their records, recent convictions and crimes, and they're still getting signed. So I think the concept of the song overall, it's an eye-opener. Like, even someone like me who's woke, per se, like, it's still, I was like, yo, damn, I need to hear that. That was dope. I need to hear that. And, like, keep pushing.
Yeah, it was all right. Nah, I'm not even trying. I'm not even being passive. It's more so like, I just think there's a big area. They're not, I've lost confidence. I feel like the gap between grassroots and like people who have all, it's such like a divide. Like, I don't even want to hear it. Like, it's like, you know, you don't even know how this feels anymore, man. You just talking. And if you knew how it felt, you'd probably be different. Like, give your perspective. You get where I'm coming from? It's like, man, like, if you really, these words really resonated with you, man, you wouldn't be walking around and you, not necessarily Jay-Z, but more so like me, you wouldn't be walking around with your $200,000 chain and your Audemars and putting so much distance between you and the next human being. Because that's like, it just all comes down to, it's all about just, we're trying to put distance between you and the next man by, with money, chains, cars, clothes, facade, persona. That's all people are doing.
Anyone can say the same thing about any one of the three of us sitting up there. I am nowhere near where I was when I was younger. Nowhere near economic-wise, nothing where I was when I was younger. Anyone come to me and say, yo, you don't live in the projects no more. You don't know what it's like anymore. Why do you care about this stuff?
That's
like, yeah, true. And granted, Jay-Z's like, what, 100,000 levels above that? Like, me even being, what, 2-3 steps above that? Like, people can still look at you and say, you don't relate back to that. You haven't been there, God knows how.
And that's how I agree, because you got to start somewhere. Like, you still remember that. You still see it.
But my point is, I don't think you said anything I disagree with. I also think there's a follow-up part. It's
like, you just don't think
what are you doing to actively, once you, I guess, get your platform, or you're not in that space anymore, what are you doing actively to propel people from that space?
You don't think Jay-Z empowers...
By what, talking, I guess?
You don't think he provides opportunity for people?
Not the way you should. I think, I hope people to higher standards. I think it's a bigger obligation for what I'm seeing from. And then I think that's hard to buy.
Do you hold like Dr. Dre or Diddy to the same?
Yeah, 200%.
Oh, you think that they're fulfilling their obligations?
I think Diddy more so than
what's
Jay.
Diddy doing?
charter schools. He just opened up his fourth one in the area. I think like school education is key. So, you know, Diddy opened up his, once again, fourth one in the Connecticut and New York area. Smaller stuff, just smaller, like that's more grassroots for me and more like, more what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha.
Like more program, more direct, you know, poverty to opportunity, you know, roles, like offering more of that.
But even someone can argue, like so just conversely to what you're saying about Diddy, how many artists has he supposedly fucked over? Numerous, like that whole Bad Boys era. The actual reputation around Bad Boy, the reputation around Bad Boy, his record label is how he fucks artists over. So like you're essentially taking from your own people because every artist not besides MGK is black. So. So you're saying, yeah, he put a charter school here. But then you can nitpick and say, yo, you actually fucked over all these artists. You didn't give these artists their worth. You didn't pay them what they were due.
Yeah.
You're about to be a billionaire off of their because you're not giving them their worth.
Maybe I'm a cheat, but this is what I'll say. Like,
about to cheat.
I just feel like just because I agree with some part doesn't mean I agree with all parts.
That's not what I'm saying.
You know what
I'm
mean?
Saying that someone can make the argument that,
yeah.
Yes, you're giving this here, but you're taking away in that.
You're a lawyer. You make a lot of arguments.
I'm just saying.
I get what you're trying to say. I think the bigger issue, though, is like, I think if you're not providing opportunities, you're saying stuff like, you know, I'm for the streets, and I'm for the people, I'm for impoverished, and I don't see direct poverty, and I don't... poverty to opportunity impact, then I don't like, it doesn't mean that much to me. Like, it just talk. But it really is, though. Because you know how many people just can't, where we grew up and where we see it and where, you know, how our family, it's like, I can't even, you know, you never even fathom being an attorney. You never, because it seems so far away. You never even fathom having money in your pocket because it seems so far away. You never even fathom having an internship or being able to afford your apartment because it seems so far away.
Yeah,
I just think that like it takes more than a couple rap lyrics, and for me to change my opinion on what you're doing, because I just think your obligation is stronger than what I think it is. I just think it's bigger. I think his role in society should be bigger, and it's not. And that's like my gripe with him. It's a personal gripe for sure, but you know I also respect the other stuff he does and his artistry. I think Jay-Z's also an example of being a mogul. You know. Turning something into nothing, being a shrewd businessman, all the other stuff that, you know, that Jay, he's impeccable. There's still that, for me, there's that other side of him that I'm not getting, that I'm not happy with. And that's just what it is. There's a couple other guys, I can shout them all out.
We could have a full blown conversation on this, but we'll be sitting here for hours, so let's just move forward. Let's get into the top five albums of 2018.
I mean, so.
No, let's Ooh. Look, you know what? I feel like before we even get into that, I think we started touching on it.
The Kareem Hunt thing?
Yeah, some of the.
Yeah, because we can't end on that.
Yeah.
You want to go into that? All right, so I guess I give a little bit of background. Kareem Hunt. I would say top three running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Top three. Kansas City Chiefs, young, super, super nice. Video released on Friday. TMZ released this video of him. I don't even know what to say. Is it assaulting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the word's assault.
Pushed into a wall. Yeah,
well, he pushed his boy. And so, anyway, assaulting a woman. And he was cut from the Kansas City Chiefs. So, a lot of things went into this. So back in February, reports surfaced of this incident. There was no video. There were no charges filed, anything of the sort. But supposedly he met with the Chiefs and told them nothing happened. So they, you know, I guess forgave him and let him stay on the team. Video released Friday, they cut him. Thoughts? This is a lot.
I had this conversation earlier. I feel like we have such a weird love for like punishing people instead of rehabilitating people, that like first thing we do with anyone who does anything wrong is punish you, like make you feel less than a person, and we're not focused on making you a better person in society, because prison system doesn't work, because we don't rehabilitate people. We put them in a cage and confine them. Or if someone does something wrong at work, you fire them and tell them go. And then, you know, we're not trying to actively make people better. We're trying to save our ass, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought it was an act by the Chiefs. I thought it was cowardly by the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the act itself is like, you know, it is what it is. It's a bad. We all know about domestic violence in this country.
Yeah.
But I also think dealing with broken human beings is something that we haven't been able to adjust to. And I thought this is another example of this is what you do. Like, this was your guy, like, 5 minutes ago, and he makes a mistake. Nah, even if he lied to you. No, even if he lied to you, he made a mistake, and then, like, what? Your thing is to cut him?
I'm with you, but this might be a bias, but the NFL as a whole, like, even when they cut him, I didn't think it was for, like, moral reasons. It's just perception.
Exactly.
And maybe that's just my
Save
bias
that.
On the NFL.
Save that.
But it's also, like, when the video came out, I don't know if, like, the physicality of what they do and, like, maybe getting too deep with, like, what it does to their brains and stuff, but like none of this surprises. Like they came out just like, oh, another NFL player. Like I guess when you compare it to like the NBA, like the league, like it's fewer people, but you don't see these allegations of like domestic violence, people getting stopped for like the 20th DUI. And so I was like thinking like even deeper. But to go back to what you were saying, yeah, none of it's surprising. Like they cut him, they don't care at all.
Wouldn't it have been amazing for you to see the Chiefs send him to like some domestic violence camp?
Yeah.
Or a rehabilitation center for like 6 months and really reinvest in a human being?
No.
But you even think back
that would have been great.
Like going back to like the Ray Rice.
Mm.
Ray Rice told Goodell exactly what he did in that elevator.
He didn't learn his life, but he's not gonna
But I'm saying the punishment he gave him at the time before the video actually came out was less than, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
He told him verbatim what he did, but because the video came out, that's when the punishment really got levied.
So
we lost sight of trying to heal human beings, man.
Well, so
they don't care.
I think
we gotta take a step back. So there's like a couple of things. Like one thing I really want to like hone in on, like words are very important. Words mean everything. People choose their words purposefully. The Chiefs cut him because he lied to them, not because he did it. They cut him, and that the statement that they released Friday when they cut him said he lied to us. Not what?
That's a lie.
Is that a cop?
Yeah, this dude's a cop.
It's a fact though. Like no, because that was like the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, oh, so you cut him because he lied to you, not because he did it. Because in February you knew he did that. Tyreek Hill is on their team, 2014, in college. He strangled his pregnant girlfriend. He's still on their team. There's a million and one dudes in the NFL that have done it. And I'm not, like, bashing. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but, like, they did what they did, you know? And it's like, the NFL, it's hard, right? So they basically created this bubble around them where they have a protection. They create this thing called an exempt list where, so basically, they put a player on the exempt list. This player can't practice. He can't go to any team drills. He can't play in any games, basically, right? The NFL will do that, but that doesn't restrict any team from keeping this player on their roster. So any team, basically, now he's been waived, can still pick him up. He just can't do anything with them. So the NFL is like, so yeah, don't blame us. Blame this particular team. Don't blame the NFL as a whole.
I think this is all new.
Why?
I think... unless his act or anyone's act was so despicable that we just couldn't imagine him, you know, being a better human being, rehabilitating.
You see his interview this morning?
Well, I mean, I'm...
No. What happened?
But, like, what's still? So, there's an act that, like, he did that was so despicable we could never see him being a member of society again. I guess that's the time where we shut him. But this is a young dude. He's 25 years old.
He's
going to
get a job in the NFL.
All right, you're convinced.
I doubt that he might get another job.
This is a young guy.
Greg Hardy got picked up.
But it's not even about getting picked up again. That's like that still wouldn't make him a better person in society. We don't want the bigger thing in life is if you're the Chiefs or you're the NFL, if you're his mom or his dad, you don't want this to happen again. That's what we should be focusing on. Man, how can we make Kareem Hunt
a better person?
Kareem Hunt who won't do this again.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
He's a broken human being. Clearly,
well, I
hurt
agree,
people, hurt people.
The NFL don't seem like his parents. I definitely agree.
Well,
but
so
the
I
NFL
mean,
don't seem to care.
Hurt people, hurt people.
So what do you think? What do you think exactly the NFL could do?
Send him to programs to help him. Like he doesn't have to be playing football. He doesn't have to be making a check. Like take his salary away. But if he wants to play football, no. If he wants to play football again,
he has to complete a program.
We need you to really focus on being a better you and understand. why you are the person you are today and how you can be better tomorrow.
Saints don't seem to care.
It's not even just, this is the thing.
Really,
I'm not
really.
Well, obviously they don't seem to care because they're a big business, but it's also like,
but
you, I don't even know if that would actually help someone. Like for example, right? So,
but
go ahead,
to that point, it's the attempt. At least attempt. Like, I don't know if Adam Silver, his morality is what, but the perception that
Adam
NBA
Silver,
is like,
league,
they care about
the
players.
NBA.
Like, they made the perception that they care about their players. Like, when I think about the NFL and Goodell, it doesn't really seem like they care about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a business, and we'll just keep it going. Like, and the NBA at least has a perception that they care. Like, they're
trying.
Like, when the Clippers owner, immediately you ban him. Like,
to get
them,
to
I don't know your morality, I don't know the reasons you did it, but the perception is racism is not at all tolerated in this league. That's the perception you give out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
The perception that the NFL is like, you don't care.
No, but so what I'm saying is, like, right now the NFL's biggest issues are CTE and domestic violence.
Yes.
What do you suggest they do about domestic violence?
Well, I think those are linked.
I
definitely think they're
linked. I mean, it comes from the physicality and aggression of the game.
Somewhat linked, but I also think it's people are coming from broken situations and they do broken things. And it's like, people are, by the time they get to the NFL, these are dudes who have done a lot of different things to, like, not address, like, some of their weak points in life. And they're just not. Come on, but then to, like, shell them, for me, it's like, we've lost that. We've lost that sort of humanity. It's always like this, we're not even talking about, like, if I can bring that point up, in my opinion, I don't think we'd be talking about Kareem Hunt as a human being.
Yeah.
We'd be talking about Kareem Hunt as the dude who, like, an object almost, like, he needs to be punished, we'll never talk. Nah, we need to make sure that if Kareem Hunt's walking the streets, that he's not a threat. Like, he's not a threat to himself, and he's not a threat to, you know, any person, or especially women, obviously, that he comes into contact to.
And that's the thing.
That's the isn't it? Or we should be solution-based people, not let's make this dude feel the wrath of hell because he made a mistake.
No, and what I'm saying is, what is the solution? Like, what is the solution? Like, having complete a course?
I talked to scientists.
The NFL is a billion-dollar company.
What is the solution?
You can send him somewhere. You can.
What's the solution?
Send him somewhere.
Like, no,
I mean, like, yeah, no, have him go through classes. Like, make the attempt.
And what does that? What does that do? Like, so what?
You try it.
You got a course to go.
I think therapy.
And then what? Bring you back?
Yes,
in?
Therapy will definitely.
Well, that's my point to you. I feel like you're right now. You're like kind of like dismissing therapy, or
I'm not dismissing anything. What I'm saying is, there's no guarantee that any of those things are going to rehabilitate anyone.
It's the attempt.
Yeah,
nothing can.
I think a lot of people who need therapy are going to therapy.
So you think that if the NFL had a rehabilitation program set up, that would just make people be less offended by any of their actions? Like, say, for example, if he, you know, whatever, the action he did to that girl, whatever, he hit her, whatever, pushed her down, whatever, like that. If the NFL was like, oh, we're going to keep him, he's going to have his salary, all this stuff, we're going to send him to therapy.
I didn't say the salary part.
Oh, so fine, he lost salary anyway, so he lost salary, he has to go to therapy. And then next season he comes back.
Possibly, yeah.
You think that everybody would be perfectly fine with that?
I was gonna say it's about showing your work. No, but it's more so about like, I mean, like, why is that bad? I think that sends a great message across the universe that, like, yo, we're not disowning you as a man or as a person because you did something horrible. Because the forgiveness and rehabilitation, I think, go hand in hand.
Do you think everyone would be given that opportunity, though?
Nah, yeah. I think there's some crimes that are so despicable.
No, I'm saying, like, NFL-wise, right? Do you think everyone would be given that opportunity? Kareem Hunt's probably going to get another opportunity. Like, just, he's going to get another job because he's 20, 24.
Like,
he's 24. He's one of the best running backs in the NFL. The crazy thing about this, right? So, I get on Twitter, like, right after it happened, he gets released. And I was telling my girl this, actually. Everyone was more so focused on the fantasy football aspect of it, not the actual domestic violence aspect of it. Everyone was like, damn, like, yo, pick up Spencer Ware, who's his backup running back, because he's not going to play. Like, make sure you get the backup running back, because, you know, he's going to get some fantasy points. And that was, like, the biggest issue about it, was, like, everyone focused on fantasy, not on the actual issue.
It's not shocking.
I really want to know. I'm almost at the point where I want to drop these mics and give it to every woman in here and talk about what you guys do.
No, I mean, you're not because I agree with room for the women, and we're like out here just like talking about
women,
it.
No,
this is how you should feel.
No, not even that. I had a talk about feminism sort of earlier today with three women, and I feel like it was totally different from the dialogue that we're having right now.
I mean, you know, I don't really know.
And nah, I felt like it was more so just like the focus is on making people better, not on some sort of weird punishment on people. And like, trust me, like I'm not saying a dude should be able to do like punishment and rehabilitation sort of go hand in hand. But the focus should always be to like make sure that these people become out better than they were.
Yeah, let me clarify. I'm not saying I'm strict on the punishment aspect of it. What I'm saying is that the NFL has shown over the years that they have not cared about this issue. And following up to what Kevin said also, the reason why he was cut was because the video came out.
What sort of punishment would you want for that? An NFL player got caught on camera hitting a female on camera. What would you guys expect?
Yeah.
What would you want to happen out of that situation? NFL player making a lot of money, and what would you want?
So because it's on camera, that makes it different.
Regardless, though, even if it wasn't on camera, what would you want from the situation?
Like a public therapy session where that NFL player talks with his dad.
Oh,
yeah, that's actually very creative. Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because I think that we forget that healing is an essential part of punishment.
I think it's like the realest form of punishment. Making people tap into like their feelings. Like the dude like this, making that dude cry would be the worst punishment this guy ever got in his life. Yeah, that's my point. But he also becomes better though.
Yeah.
It's like the world becomes better. But like when you just throw somebody off, I don't like the way a lot of stuff is handled now. Like Kanye, everyone just like, screw that guy, I'm not gonna listen to his music. It's like, dude, when are we ever gonna, like, leading with that is like never gonna make this any of this better.
That's fine. So having a therapy session with
anybody else playing?
No,
I like that though.
I want to respond to this. Having a therapy session with his father, making him cry, what does that do for the actual victim?
It's not so much about what it does for the victim as much as it does for what it does for the victim's fans. Like, sometimes a punishment moment is also a way to like give an entire public tools on how to apply punishment with healing as a part of the destination point, right? Like, but if you don't publicly show people how to sit down and like heal each other, then you're not allowed. It's not like you learn that in school. I mean, we learn not to talk to our parents at school, probably. you know.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, anyone else?
We're fine.
No, I think to your point, you were saying, like, what does that do for the victim? I think it depends on the person, but it doesn't really help the victim to feel like the person is just being punished for no good reason. They need some sort of, you know, to make for that person to feel like they can move on, some sort of resolution, some sort of, like, moving forward, some sort of healing moment. So as, like, say, like, I'm the victim, I would feel better knowing that that person is not going to re-instigate another crime.
Mm.
I feel better knowing that that's not going to happen to another human.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Can you guys ever forgive a person like that? Because
sure.
I will say, though, I feel like that's sort of the thing that I think, I would be harsh on women right now. Y'all don't leave with, or like, there's no destination point, and it's like, there seems to be a lot more focus on punishing this dude as opposed to like making this guy better. Like, this guy should not do that again. But what's going to make him not do that again?
Right.
Right? That should be the focus.
That's
what's
going to
make this man not do this again? Not rotten hell man or like whatever comments that he's getting under his like Instagram tab that's going to probably make him a worse human being. It should be like, I hope we can get you the help you need. Right? I hope we can find something that's going to work, right?
Well, I think not just that, but, like, what's he going to do to make the world around him better? Like, how is he going to teach other people that what he did was a mistake and to teach other people to not make that in the first place? So it's, and take more of like a preventative or like a restorative action to society. Like, how are we going to teach the little boys who watch this kid, this guy play football and think how great he is? How is he going to teach them that, hey, what I did was wrong, don't ever do it?
Mm.
Right.
No, I like that. I do.
But also, forgiveness is an essential part of the victim finding peace.
Absolutely.
To survival. That it's a, and it's something that probably doesn't get discussed very often because you only see the anger is the public part. The forgiveness is a very private interaction.
And a lot of times that can happen because you recognize that the other person is actually hurt. They're hurting you because something's wrong with them. And
mm-hmm.
it's that recognition I think is so essential. It goes back to like dealing with our emotions, talking about what an emotion is. No
mm-hmm.
one knows what that is, and therefore we
mm-hmm.
have zero tools as to like what's actually going on inside. The outside world is a reflection of that.
We legitimately talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
no, we really did. Like, I was in their office, and we talked about like how, you know, someone hates you, and when you respond to them by saying, I don't hate you, and like how crazy that is, like you're starting off way better than as opposed to you responding with whatever sort of hate you're going to spew back. Like, you are creating a dialogue, and it's so hard to hate somebody who doesn't hate you. Like, it really is. Like, unless you're just some corrupt, nasty man.
I really try not to get let people get you off your square. Like, I heard, like, there were racial slurs spit maybe, but nobody could say something to me that would prompt me to like, you
yeah,
know
what
I'm like,
saying earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, to go back to what you're saying, well, where does this stem from? This anger, like, what is it?
I just wanna like add just to follow up, you guys should go check out his interview that he requested with Lisa Saltz on ESPN.
Mm.
It's really short, it's like 5-6 minutes on ESPN, and his apology, and just let me know, just take it in and see how you feel about it.
Yeah.
He requested this interview personally, and just, I don't want to sway
like
you with my thoughts.
I didn't see it, but it looked like he would advise against it. Well,
you guys are,
across.
Nah, I'm just telling you. Just,
how did he come across?
Just lethargic.
Mm.
Like, every dude in here was scared when I started like pointing my energy toward females. Every guy in here was like, whoa, what is this guy about to say? I saw this dude.
There's
like,
three dudes in here.
But I saw your face, and you like knew, you legitimately were about to be like, what is this guy about to say? I think it's, I'm not really afraid to say anything, but like, I think when you like, I think anybody who, I lead with intentions, and like, I'm not trying to like, if I said something that probably was maybe insensitive, or I just know where it's coming from, and we can probably meet somewhere because it's not coming from some like sort of crazy, nasty. It might be my opinion on something, but like it's not some hard, steady. You know, we're growing. We're all growing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Let's in the interest of time, I hate to cut that short. That was actually a great topic, but let's just move on. We gotta get to our last.
Let's talk about slavery.
I'm trying to end on a dark note. Nah, let's talk about top 5 albums 2018 hip hop.
Yeah.
This is a terrible transition. I don't know why you wanted to do it this morning, but I'm like, yeah, hip hop, 5 albums.
I don't want to talk about anything.
Well, tell me about that.
I got a dark cloud.
How
you
feel about music?
Huh? Oh. Who's your top 5 albums?
Yeah, no, Drake is definitely in it, Scorpion.
This way, you gotta give it some kind of order.
Yeah, he's 3.
I ain't letting you off the hook.
He's third. Nipsey Hussle, Victory Lap is 1.
Easy.
Meek Mill, Championships 2.
Mm.
Drake 3. I'll end it there.
You only got the top 3?
I don't like a lot of what's going on in young rap. In hip hop, these kids are buffoons. I really don't. I would say KOD4.
Yeah.
J. Cole. And any TD album. 5.
Gotcha.
J-Rock?
No, Reason.
J-Rock. Anyway.
You wanna go?
Nipsey.
Yeah.
I do agree he's number one.
Mm-hmm.
In the year of, you know, my Lord and Savior Aubrey, he is number one. Aubrey second.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the Black Panther soundtrack.
Can we go back? Can we say Drake can't rap anymore? Do you agree with that?
What are you doing?
No, see, I'm really.
What's going on, man?
I'm literally serious when I say this. Like, he. Ever since the ghost writing allegations came out.
Shit. That same year he made 4 p.m. in Calabasas.
Do we know he made it?
I'm
not even one of those. Trust me,
I'm not even
one of those dudes who's like really caught up in that, but it definitely.
You feel like his rapping ability has suffered.
Like,
he made 4 p.m. in Calabasas.
Nonstop sucks. Like,
Emotionless.
Yeah, it's good.
Is there more?
Like it.
his rap, Diplomatic Immunity.
No, I'm really serious when I say like I really prefer R&B Drake. I don't even want the. I don't want rap.
That's
Drake
a different critique.
Like he could have left that with Quentin Miller.
Well, can he rap versus do I want to hear him rap or different? Like I'm giving you songs.
What did he really bring to the table? Let's bring up his impact. We're gonna look back at Drake's impact. We're not gonna be like 4 p.m. in Calabasas. We're not gonna be. We're gonna think of So Far Gone.
No, he tapped in the.
We're gonna think of Take Care.
You
we're gonna think of. Men being more vulnerable.
Yeah, but the addition is that he can actually rap. Like, when he's on track with people, you really think about the Coles, the
legacy,
Charms,
though.
The
legacy.
Kendrick.
Like, now we're pointing to the legacy.
Well, it depends who you ask.
I think we'll...
To a pop mainstream, he's one of the most popular artists. He gave us hits.
Not good.
Not good.
I think his rapping ability, since the allegations came out, has been...
That is, what, 2016?
Yeah.
He made back-to-back. I don't...
Don't know anymore, though. Put it out.
This is sick.
Oh, my God. Finish the top five.
No, go ahead.
You done?
I'm done.
You hurt your heart?
Yeah.
You can't even think straight no more.
What if Drake came out and said, look, man.
Quentin was right.
No.
He's been making me hot since 2016.
If Drake right now came out and said, this is the craziest part about his legacy. If Drake came out right now and said, man, I don't wrote any of my lyrics ever. I don't care.
Nah, Kev might jump off the Empire State. Never see Kev again.
What? This man is...
Yeah, I'm going radio silent.
Yeah, Kev stopped showering. He's depressed.
Yeah, I'm going radio silent.
We'll hear from you, huh? Top five. Obviously, Nipsey. Victory Lap is just the greatest. But I've been talking about Nipsey since 2011. I got Meek too still.
Don't you hate the guys who always try to...
I put you on. I'm talking about Nipsey since 2011. We out here. What else? What did I say? Oh, Meek. And then Scorpion. J-Rock Redemption.
This dude just copied my list.
No, I didn't. Bro!
Yo, this guy really just
you went. First of all, listen. First of all, this is all wax. Listen, if anyone copied anyone, you copied me. But it's cool. You just went first.
Let the record show it's December 2nd. And we're talking about champions better than Scorpion. But go ahead.
Who has a 9-to-5? Who has a 9-to-5 in here?
Anyway, J-Rock is fourth.
Quit it.
And then Daytona, Pusha T fifth. Y'all slept on that album. Pusha T's Daytona album's fire.
That EP is fire.
It's 7 tracks. I guess it is an EP, but whatever. It's fire.
No, yeah, no.
Pusha T?
Daytona?
Then listen.
That's another one.
What? Listen to it.
They're not tired for it.
It's only 6
So what happened to him in Toronto?
What happened?
You didn't see that?
When he's on stage,
he
come
on a spray on
him. He got beat down by Drake's goons.
Nobody cuts.
They said Drake's goons threw beer on him.
That's not beating anyone down.
Nah, I love that. Yeah, I'm very disappointed that, you know, back in the day when I wouldn't say when I was growing up, but the guys I admire, guess who we had, right? We had Louis Armstrong, Jelly Roll Morton. Some of the more talented, you know, artists, you know, Billie Holiday, and now you're talking about who? Who did you just say? Come on, man. I think this is this really is indicative of our culture. Dude, nobody you just said.
What year you were born?
None of you dudes.
Yeah.
Not one artist they mentioned can play an instrument. No, just think about that. Just in a nutshell.
You named the same artist.
We'll remember them. We'll remember them all more than the artists you mentioned, though. So what does that say? What does that say?
It's a damn shame.
Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick, you're going to remember them all.
Heard about the Harlem Renaissance?
Anyway. This guy. You got anything else to say? You want to finish your little Harlem Renaissance?
I do, actually.
All right, you got 2 minutes.
I want to make this concise. But impactful. No, no, we have an issue, though. It's all about addressing our issues and getting better. We have an issue. We've lost a context of history of black culture. I think we talk about the crack epidemic, but we don't talk about before that, about a lot of the art and continuity of community that we had in this country. The art shows that. If you go to the 1900s to the 1950s and 60s, I'm telling you, some of the greatest artwork ever was created by African Americans. Some of the strongest culture in American history was being created and moved and championed. But we don't even, you might have one little class on it, but like, it is crazy. Like, Chuck Berry created rock. This dude's black. Well, I'm serious, but like, some of the art, some of the contemporary art, some of the, you know, Louis Armstrongs and those people really, without the resources, right? We always talk about resources and all, without any of this stuff, these dudes were building, it's incredible. So like when we talk about Bed-Stuy and Harlem and what it means to some other people and what that stuff means to me, it's like, man, we need to like bring that stuff to the forefront, because it's like, when we start talking about some of these new artists, yeah, I mentioned some of the same guys, but we don't celebrate history enough. Like, we just don't, we don't know enough. Like, people don't know enough about that side of, if we're gonna teach American history, like, all of it has to be brought to the forefront.
Powerful words. Boy, call folks. Nah. Thank you guys. Really appreciate everyone for coming out and being a part of this first live event. I'm so gracious. I can't even like speak, you know, the amount of gratitude I have for everyone that's here for this first event. Man, make sure you guys check out all of our podcasts. We do this every single week. Me and Kat get together after work and, you know, just keep pouring into it. You can find us on IG, iTunes, SoundCloud, all those streaming networks were there everywhere, you know, just cooling our pod, everything. And you want to talk about free game real quick? I know you do. So. I don't even know why I posed it as a question.
Nah, I don't want to talk about it, but I will say this. No, man, I launched an initiative. This isn't even a free, I wanted to have some fun today and talk with friends and, you know, talk about rap, art, music, culture, all that sort of stuff. But what I normally do in events like these is give out sort of free legal advice, free education in regards to copyrights. We're both attorneys here, me and Jarrell, and we did one here about a month, probably about 3 months ago now.
Not like 2 months. Yeah,
2 months
a while,
ago. Yeah, it was good, man. We gave people who needed it, right, an opportunity to come out here, ask questions to two active attorneys, and we're teaching you. We pick a new topic every month. And I've just been running with it, man. I've been doing it in Philly, bringing it back to New York. I'm doing it again soon in New York. I'm just excited, man. All the stuff I'm hating on about Jay-Z, like, I'm trying not to be that dude. Like, so, legitimately, I hope as I get more successful, y'all don't see me turn, then bring it back up, then bring this whole movement back. But no, like, free education should be provided to all.
Mm.
Like, there's, right? We always champion free education, right?
Yeah.
College should be free.
You don't meet Jay. I'll be like, yo, he's doing a lot behind the scenes, though.
Yeah.
That you don't see. Don't slam him like that.
We got to see it. No, but honestly, I challenge everybody in here who's listening to this and who will listen to this to like make sure whatever you do is bigger than you, and you're not living if it's not making an impact on people. Like, it just doesn't matter that much. So even if your work isn't doing it, your 9 to 5, find other stuff that you're doing that can push this country and push people forward. Like, we're all healing. We're all trying to, you know, do cool and beautiful stuff. And I'm telling you, all you really need sometimes, all people need sometimes, you know, a chance and opportunity and education and resources. And if you can be a person who has those things and provide them to another person, you're doing your part.
Yeah, man. D. Not for real, man. Thank you guys so much for coming out, supporting the podcast. Until next time, it's cooling out.
Stay cool.
You cool, I'm cool. We're cooling out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.